are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. This is our 100th episode. Woo! Yay! Yeah. Please add those sound effects.
Wow.
All right. So my name is T-Mac, and I'm joined by the whole crew today, minus one. But yeah, we just thought it would be fitting.
Minus one?
Minus Biscuit.
But he's online.
Oh, hi, Biscuit.
I am actually here.
Sorry. I forgot. Hi, how are you?
Well, you're here, but not here. Oh, you're not here, but here.
All right, so in the room, we've got myself, T-Mac, we've got Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
We've got Shazzle Dazzle.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the he who must not be named, the producer.
Yes.
Who's always in the shadows. And we've got TJ on the decks. TJ, what's up? All right, so that's everyone, and Biscuit on the line. So today, what we're just going to be doing is a bit of reminiscing and just looking back at all the work that we've done, y'all. We've been grafting, y'all. Give us the pet on the back that we deserve.
Yeah.
100 episodes. That is a lot of commitment, a lot of work, a lot of...
man hours.
Yeah, and a lot of editing, a lot of... Yeah, there's one time when we recorded an episode and it just disappeared. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I had to redo the whole thing.
With that guy, guys. That pasta. Anyway, we'll mention names. But yeah, it's been a cool journey. And so we want to start, actually, by talking to the producer, the man himself. We're going to begin. In the beginning, there was the producer with the idea. Wow. So... Can we call you by your name?
Or is no, using your nom de plume? Mr. Kent.
That's what they call it, right? No, huh? Nom de plume. It is, you guys. Didn't you use those when you wrote essays for I Said Fit? So we want to know why you started this culture, which is... No, this why you started this podcast, which has become a whole, you know, something much bigger. It's a website. It's your way of reaching people. So we want you to tell us your reason for starting this.
Okay, so starting the podcast.
No, start before we get to the...
Yes.
Who are you? You don't have to tell us your name, but what do you do? Like, what are your interests? Like, what qualifies you to speak to the masses?
Sorry, guys, I never thought I'd be doing this. I'm the one who does this to people.
Yeah, well, table's done turned.
I'm an entrepreneur. Okay, let me start from the very... I'm a husband, mm-hmm. and a father.
Oh, I like that that comes first.
And, mm-hmm. yeah, and I'm a pastor, entrepreneur.
You sound too young to be a pastor.
Yes, I'm a very young pastor. Actually, I'm not actually that young, but anyway, well, I sound young.
Yeah, I sound young, look young. It's good enough.
Great. Yeah, that's pretty much me. I'm passionate about God and Jesus and sharing his word and yeah.
How long
building
have you
his
been
kingdom.
Pastoring for?
I've been pastoring for 5 years.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 5 years.
That's a long time.
5 years?
Yeah. Yes. 5 years actually.
Safe already there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to have a party for that. And could you just give us a snippet of how you came to know Christ?
Okay, so, that's really interesting. So, a certain monster in this room had an encounter with Christ before me, and he was like very like, yeah, he was a rowdy guy, like an extremely rowdy guy. So all of a sudden,
it was a heathen.
Yes, exactly, a heathen of the heathens.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this guy would mimic DMX in class answering to teachers if the teachers were like, Cookie Monster, but I won't say his name. Like, Cookie Monster, you'd be like, what? And you're like, what the heck?
Really?
I forgot it.
What?
So all of a sudden, so unfortunately, I had to sit with this guy in class in almost all the lessons because we're in the same class. So from nowhere, this guy is different the next day. I think it was in geo class with Mr. Hills. And this guy is participating. And I think Mr. Hills was a little bit late and people were making noise. And he all of a sudden just tells people to keep quiet. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? And then we went to, I think we had a lesson in the lecture theater because we had a lecture theater. And then guys, so waiting for the teacher, guys put on, you know, some stuff. And there were half-dressed women there. And these guys, it was him and a couple of guys that had just gotten born again. And they just switched off the thing and started preaching to us that how this is not good and how we can't be watching things like this. I think it was like a Donald Jones video. I don't know if he still remembers that.
Accident.
But yeah, and so every day in class he'll sit, ask me questions like, so when you die do you think you're going to heaven? I'm like, dude, so also just seeing that change in him and how passionate he all of a sudden became about Christ, and he started going to Scripture Union. Now, Scripture Union were the uncool guys. Mm. Like, they met in this class, Mrs. Bertram's class, every
You're like smashing
day.
My whole family, bro. Scripture Union was uncool.
It was uncool.
I was very cool, bro. I was a very cool person, I'll have you know.
So, he started going to Scripture Union at break time. I mean, break time was, you need to go to the fields, play games, and have fun with everybody. These guys were going to pray.
Wow.
At break time, every single day. At lunchtime, they were praying. And you're like, what the heck is wrong with these guys? So eventually, they invited me to the church they were going to youth. It was called the Arena. I went a couple of times, and then, yeah, it just hit me, and I gave my life to Christ. I didn't know what it meant. And then I think a week later, I think I was sleeping and I woke up in the middle of the night and there was this bright light. And there was this guy, couldn't really tell. I couldn't see his face. And the guy just said, follow me. And that was it. And then I woke up. When I woke up, I could just hear a voice telling me to do things, you know.
Whoa.
Telling me to help my mom, telling me just to do things I generally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So,
you
yeah.
You wouldn't help your mom before?
Pardon? No, I didn't. I was quite a rebellious teenager at that time.
That you were.
I think you were just
a But, teenager. Yeah.
Okay, so that was how your journey started.
Yeah.
And then how did we get to a point where Radiant Culture became an idea?
Okay, so I was always passionate about the media. I had a group called Heaven's Language, a rap group, and music and stuff.
In them bars, I feel like we need a sample. Otherwise,
no.
People won't believe.
Come on, you gotta drop a line. You gotta drop a line.
Later, at the end of the episode.
I can do the beat.
No.
I can do the beat. I can do the beat, bro.
Give us a freestyle.
No freestyle, guys. Ah, oh, come on.
Yes.
You know you have to, man.
Yes.
You know
I don't remember any lines.
I can't even remember.
Can my flow's a little hit.
I actually, this is actually left my head.
No, you know.
What happened to the Holy Spirit lyrics?
We sparked the regiment.
We rocked the
continent. See, you guys even know the lyrics.
Hey, yeah. We were fans, bro. We were fans back in the day.
Yeah,
you guys had the one single. The single with 15 tracks.
19,
it was
actually.
A single with 15 tracks. You know,
19
this
tracks.
Guy,
yes, just explain what happened. Because I feel like you were not his manager at the time. Explain
yes,
what happened.
Yes, he was the manager.
Explain what happened with that 19-track album with the same song.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, Heaven's Language is where me and Mr. Kent, our paths crossed. Hey, that's kind of where it began.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the talent, bruh. And these guys just didn't want to go all the way, bruh. I was ready to make you stars.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, okay.
How dare you like
it? So I was ready to make you stars.
But you guys need to behave.
So how did you end up releasing an album which had 17 versions of the same song?
Yeah, me, I think he just played me one track and then he didn't tell me he was putting the other.
Oh, wow.
CD. I had no idea. No. It was actually a pretty cool idea. At the time, no one had done that.
Yeah.
And they were literally different versions of the same track, so you could get away with it. I just think he didn't want to get rid of all his practice ones or something.
Yeah. More likely.
He just didn't want... But it was cool. I mean, it was well received, which was good. It was a good start.
It was. You had your own little following.
Yeah.
Group. Yeah, we had groupies in church.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So is that how you started into media?
Yeah.
Through music.
Yeah. So through music, I also started serving in church. I was part of the what they called TV ministries then.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just fell in love with media, and yeah, that was me. And also started a business with Biscuit, which was sort of like a design studio, / audio recording and stuff. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I do really know. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So Radiant Culture.
I think, I had two encounters, weird encounters. You didn't know about these encounters, so you're going to be, some of you know, some of you don't know. But, the first encounter was that whole bright light and that guy saying, follow me. I didn't really see it. It was just, it was like a silhouette kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time was, I think it was 2008, it was just before we went on tour. Grahamstown, mm-hmm. as Heaven's Language, and it was like 2 weeks before, and got woken up 3 a.m. and just heard a very audible voice saying, get up, write this down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took the nearest notebook that was there and I just took a pen and I just wrote it down, and basically it was just saying, look, you're going to have influence, you're going to help extend my kingdom through media, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was, and I'm going to use you in that space. So from then I was kind of confused how I'll do it at that time. I thought it was through Heaven's Language, so I thought, okay, so I'm on the right track. But something just kept telling me that, no, there was something more to it. So a year later, I revisited that notebook and I thought, okay, I need to do something about this. At that time, I thought it was going to be a magazine. So I started trying to put a magazine together.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never worked. Just never
took off.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where the idea and the whole thing came. So it was always lingering since then that, okay, I need to do something in the media that's, influencing culture and society for the kingdom of God. So, I tried different things. They kind of just didn't work out. And, I kept at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know how everything came together. Like, it's one thing to have a particular direction that you want to go, but when was the moment where it became Radiant Culture?
Okay, so what happened was, as I was trying to figure out, okay, so God, how do you want me to do this? I would pray and, try different things and they wouldn't work out. I just had this burden on my heart that, look, to me, I looked at my own walk and I saw that, look, the moment I let go of certain things, so there came a point where back then when we had CDs, I broke all my CDs, all my circular stuff, and just started, concentrating on Christian content. But it was very difficult to get, really good Christian content. No offense, but at that time, most Christian content was just whack. And not as entertaining as, the circular stuff. So you had to really dig and really search for the good stuff. So that was kind of like, so why isn't there something that I can feed on? And, talking to people, you find they have the same challenge. and you'd have people saying, no, I'm only listening to secular because, you know, I'm just listening to the beat and not the lyrics. And you get excuses, but you can tell someone is, you know, trying to fill that void, but they can't find anything else, so they gravitate back to what they were used to. So that became a burden. And I remember one day, T-Mac actually, she had just come back from Australia, and we were at Biscuit's office, and she asked me a question. She says, what's your righteous anger? And
well, I don't even remember these conversations.
Yeah, she ain't never asked me that question. And you see, I'm so off right now.
She asked me, what's your righteous anger? And I was like, kind of confused. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, okay, so what makes you, know, angry? What makes you, you know, want to do something about something? And I was like, just no Christian content that's good enough. So from then, I just started digging, and I was like, okay, maybe I need to be the one supplying this thing. So fast forward, I became a pastor at His Generation Church, pastoring a youth group. So trying to come up with creative ideas, we came up with a concept called OG Radio with T-Mac. And we did this thing, and it was quite a hit with the people that actually managed to check it out. So it was like a radio station. It was like a play or like a production, like a reality on stage thing, but mimicking a radio station, that sort of thing. So we'd have artists come and perform and interview them like it was on radio, but on stage and with a live audience. And it was quite pretty cool. So after having done a few of those, I thought, hey, why don't we actually do this properly? That's like cool Christian content. So the first idea was like, okay, let's do OG Radio. But then I was like, ah, okay, how do we scale it? How do we reach a wider audience? And a friend of mine, Blah, in South Africa, started working for an internet radio station called Cliff Central at that time. Oh. And he sent me a link of an interview he had on Cliff Central. So I listened to it. I was like, I actually missed the interview. So he sent me a link to the podcast because they had it as a podcast. So I listened to the podcast, and the idea came like, podcast. Yeah. Why don't we do it as a podcast? OG Radio is a podcast, but I didn't like the name OG Radio. So kept bouncing off ideas until it just dropped to me, Radio and Culture.
Mm. Was that another voice?
No, not another voice. It just came as an idea, Radio and Culture. We're trying to shine a light in darkness, cool. Basically.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the most amazing things is, I guess, just in the journey.
Yeah.
You know, just getting to delve into some of these topics and discussing things that are somewhat controversial,
yeah.
and also, you know, just things that addressing questions that people have had for a long time. I think what I want to know is, do you feel that the podcast and just the whole show is achieving the results that you had in mind when it started?
I think it's succeeded.
Yeah.
It's definitely exceeded. Because at the beginning, and you guys were there from the beginning and can attest, it wasn't, we didn't really have a clear direction. We had an idea of it. So it was kind of like, we had a general idea and it was kind of like working it out. So just starting from there, we didn't know exactly what kind of content we were going to do. We knew we were going to talk about Christian content and that sort of thing. But the first few episodes kind of shaped how the direction was going to go. And we started seeing that, look, the first few topics we started with were actually topics that, you know, most churches shy away from. So it became kind of like our angle to say, you know, we're going to go and talk about the things that people don't talk about in church, or it's not addressed enough in church, the controversial or seemingly controversial or the difficult questions and stuff like that. And it's just so amazing how God just puts people in your life over the years and you never really understand why. Like, for example, I started staying at a certain complex in Mount Pleasant. That's where I met a good friend of mine, Shingai Kwaza, and just spending time with him, knowing that he was just so full of wisdom and just his biblical knowledge was just outstanding. And Yeah, so when the idea for the podcast came, he was like one of our first guests. Like, yeah, it was on the second episode, and it just came, I know this guy who can answer this topic. And was just calling him, and he became a part of the show. So that's pretty much, it's just basically going with the flow, and hadn't expected that at this point we'll get to 100 episodes. Some of the feedback we've gotten from listeners, the audience, is good and bad. It's been amazing. We reach an average of 2,500 to 3,000 people.
And each episode?
Yeah, every week.
Wow.
Pretty much, yeah. Every week. And yeah, that's what we're doing now. And yeah, and it's like a consistent thing. Yeah, the numbers drop here and there. Sometimes they drop to 1,000, 1,500 and stuff. But it's a general, an average of 2,500, 3,000 people.
Mm. And I think that's pretty.
And that's pretty
amazing.
Big, yeah. I think, yeah. from where we started. Considering that there was no funding, still no funding, we're just basically using our resources and our time.
One of the things that I often find myself thinking about when it comes to radio and culture is the impact that it's had on us as the presenters. And I think I want us to just talk about that as well. Maybe Dazzle, you can start, you know. Let's start with Biscuit.
Yes.
Since you're all the way, since you're all the way in Cape Town.
Well, before we go there,
Cape Town.
Show off. Before we get there, I would like DJ Kent to kind of take us through how you came, the process of assembling this team.
Okay.
Because we're all really different.
Yeah.
But you had something in mind, obviously, when you chose us. I know I was very resistant.
Yes, extremely.
Take us through how you chose your disciples.
Okay. Disciples, my gosh. So T-Mac was a no-brainer because we did OD radio together. But I didn't want to be at the forefront because I didn't think I was very good at it. So I needed someone to replace me, and I would be in the background. So I needed someone who I knew had character, someone who I knew was a bit of a nuthead and had great, because I kind of wanted the show to be edgy, you know, like hard talk sort of thing. And I know T-Mac can be like that, but she can be a bit soft. So I needed the grit. Mm-hmm. And I know one of my good friends always asks challenging questions. So I was like, yeah, Cookie Monster, let's ask him. And when I asked him, yeah, the answer was straight yes. Unlike T-Mac, who resisted for a while. So that's how the team began. Just T-Mac and Cookie Monster. And then randomly, I get a message from this girl, and she's like, I want to audition for Radiant Culture. I'm like, And then she sends me a demo. And in the demo, she's talking about weed. I'm like, girl, you got the wrong podcast. So it wasn't really about weed, but she was taking an analogy of weed and trying to teach some good lessons.
Puff Pass brothers.
Yeah.
Are you a Puff Pass kind of brother?
Anyway.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
So anyway, I thought she was really good and set up a meeting, and I'll send you the demo. I'll play it on the podcast.
That's not part of the discussion.
So it turns out I had met this girl 6 months earlier. Then she was saying she was referred to me by my brother. I don't know how my brother knew I was starting Radiant Culture, because we met before the actual first episode dropped. So I'm wondering, how does she know I'm starting a podcast? I never told my brother. So yeah, my brother's weird like that. So we then met, and then she told me she was passionate about writing and this kind of stuff, and being on the podcast and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, let's start with a blog. We can add a blog to our website. And then she wrote a few articles, we posted them, and they just went, they were just the hits. And she's been writing since then, and then she's
consistently,
say, yeah, like, very girl, consistently.
Very consistent. Like, I could not do that.
Props.
I need to, like, get into a specific kind of zone to write anything. So the fact that you week on week are doing this
thing. You need some pop pass.
Wow. Actually, no, not that kind of inspiration.
So then, and then Cookie Monster managed to get into Yali. So he was going to go away for like 6 weeks, which eventually became 8 weeks because he overstayed there. So we needed a replacement, and our good old friend Biscuit was available. He had no choice. We just literally, cause we used to record at his offices.
Exactly, that's how it happened.
So we just like, hey, we need a replacement. Can you come on the show? And it pretty much worked out. So he became the official spare wheel.
Hence the name Biscuit.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not from Zim, basically those little spare wheels with the yellow rim are called the Biscuit
type. Yeah, so that's why it's called Biscuit.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
So that's how the team was assembled. And then work, because I also do commercial work in terms of audio production and media production, so I needed an assistant, and came along TJ to help me out. He was fresh out of university, trying to dabble in the stuff, and yeah, he's been here with us 2 years now.
Nice.
So yeah, that's how the team came together.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and then there's also Wimbai. We'll miss out Wimbai. Wimbai writes our story, and she's totally amazing. If you follow the Sunsets and Sunrises,
we love you, Wimbai.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the Shonda Rhimes of Africa. That's what I say. Yeah.
Shout out.
Cool.
Cool.
So that's the team, and that's how they all came along. Wimbai came from TJ. Basically, she friend zoned TJ when he was trying to mac, and he's been friend zoned.
Oh,
Anyway, we shall not comment about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think so. Can we move on to my question?
Yes.
Thank you for rudely interrupting me.
You're welcome.
So, as you always do. So, yes. The team. You know, how has the journey been for you guys? And I think we can start with Biscuit. Just the whole experience for you. I think you can just share that. Whatever.
The journey in terms of like just being on Radio Encounter.
Being a presenter and just being part of the team.
Well, it's been interesting. It's definitely it fell upon me to take up this mantle. And definitely unexpected. I guess what I didn't expect, what I was looking for, but can you guys still hear me? What I was looking for, but didn't expect was kind of how much I would learn just being a presenter. I guess what I like a lot about the show is that we never really try to suggest that we know everything or we're the authorities on anything we're actually discussing. We're learning as much as the audience is learning. And I've learned a lot and had to think about a lot as we're going through the show itself. So it's been fun like that. I guess it's been ministry to me as well. So that journey has been pretty cool. It's been annoying the heck, because when Mr. Kent just calls you and you're like the spare wheel, you don't get a choice. Eh? You're just like, yo, you're getting on the car now. And I'm like, bruh. I'm like, can I get some air in here first? Can I just take some time? But beyond that, it's been pretty cool, and it's been good to see the growth. I think some of the most interesting aspects, one of the most interesting aspects, has been when I'm talking to a bunch of people, and this has happened two or three times now. I'm talking to some people, and then they recommend Radiant Culture to me, or something like that. And I'm like, oh, you watch the show. And these are people not from Zim. They're like,
what?
From Australia, from Canada and all that. And they're like, hey, there's this show. Do you listen to the show? It's a pretty good show. Then I'm like, oh, really? Tell me about this show that you speak of. And it's always been good things. It's always been great things. It's just strange and heartwarming, I guess, to know that for some people, what we discuss and the topics we touch on have been burning for them, and that we are a source of, a thinking space for them to go through these things and have a voice for them. So it's It's been great. That's been pretty cool. It's good that we have interesting names on the show so nobody ever knows. But I have been accosted not too long ago by someone saying, aren't you Biscuit? You're Biscuit, right? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Do I look like one?
He's been accosted, like an accosted guitar. Oh
my. Why are you stealing my thunder? Those are my statements. Okay. Those are my things. I dropped those. Those are mine.
Both of you, like, I can't. I didn't see
it coming. Anyway, thanks, thanks, Biscuit. Shazzle Dazzle, you wanna go next?
Yep, you made me a biscuit there. It's okay, I'll forgive you. Wow, radiant culture.
So you like weed, huh?
No, please, I can neither confirm nor deny said allegations. I do not have a comment
no,
at this time.
Bro, it's okay.
No,
it's not breaking any laws.
No, she just likes weeding out things. You know,
yes,
things,
you
things
see,
that are not God.
Yeah,
yeah, weeding out.
You see the company I'm surrounded by. As a pastor, I feel like David. You know, the Bible says David was followed by worthless men.
Yeah.
And he formed an army out of them.
Worthless.
Like a David.
We'll stone you right now. Bro.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't be trying to test us right now. Well, so yeah, my journey on Radiant Culture, wow. This has been the most amazing thing I've ever done. In fact, I think it completely changed the trajectory of my life. I knew from a young age that I wanted to have a relationship with God and to connect with Him.
Yeah.
And I was kind of going about it in a misguided way. So you know, I'd get like tangled in different things, but it was all because I was seeking God. In fact, one of my housemates when I was at uni said to me, hey, Sha, you know, I know you're trying to find God, but hey, I think you're trying too hard, eh?
Yeah.
Like, like, you know, and I was like, can anybody try too hard? And now I realize you can if you don't have the right guidance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Radiant Culture has become for me, a point of guidance, which is ironic because in my sharing of the blog, I was just sharing my honest experiences and situation, and I thought, man, is this what I'm supposed to do? I really should be getting guidance to see this. And the guidance came from being able to participate in other things that were at Radiant Culture. So aside from the blog, I then would participate in the podcast, and that gave me some major guidance. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I always thought it was this. And then, oh, when we discuss it in this way, or when we have this open platform where you can discuss it rather than just have it kind of shoved down your throat in a Sunday sermon. No offense to the throat shovers. We know you do it out of the goodness. But the throat shoving is there.
Gosh.
I just... But...
Quit your head, girl.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna drop that right now. I puffed some and passed some this morning, and this is why. Well, so yeah, it started out as me just wanting to share my journey, and at the end of it, it has shaped my journey, and that's the most amazing thing. Like, I didn't know what it meant to relate to God until I met people who relate with Him, and now I'm on this journey that's allowing me to see, oh, I can relate with men.
Yeah.
Oh, it's deeper than that. Wow,
yeah.
I never knew it was more than just... And those revelations keep coming to me. I mean, the things that I've learned there that should have been basic things, like you'd think they're fundamental things of a Christian walk, and yet a lot of us don't have those.
Yeah.
So Radiant Culture has definitely been that platform for me. And I'm,
wow.
You will certainly hear so much more from me on the blog. I've tried to quit more than once and been sternly guided back.
Shepherd has been like, no.
Yeah, he's like, we don't do that.
Right, so the journey. I'm actually excited.
Yes.
Okay. We are looking at me.
Okay, I'll look elsewhere.
Thanks. Right, so no, the thing is, like you heard, I was very resistant when DJ Kent approached me about this thing, because, you know, it was like he had a baby and he was now trying to give me the baby to look after it. Not my baby. So I really was like, I don't, no, this is your thing. I think you should run with it. I'm supporting you fully from the background. But somehow, it's not the first time that he's managed to get me to do something that I did not want to do, aka this language. I won't go into that. But now it's been great, like echoing what Biscuit and Sharon are saying, in that we are learning so much through the process of interviewing people or coming up with topics, or even just sitting in this room listening to someone else with the wisdom unpack these things that we've had so many questions about. And you go home and you're like, wow, okay, so actually I was not doing that right, or I was doing that, like I wasn't crazy for doing that. Or I remember one episode in particular when we had Wasu, Sean Mullins, and he was talking about justice and mercy and how we should be nice to police officers. And I was like, bruh, I am not the one. Like, those people have arrested me and harangued me at countless traffic stops, and I'm not trying to be picking up any of them and give them a ride home. No. But like, just that's just how Radiant Culture has like infiltrated my life. I can't shake it. Like, I can't pretend like I didn't hear this information now. I don't have ignorance as an excuse anymore. And that's really what's been super challenging for me, because I excuses are limited now. I really just do have to try my best to live out the word.
Yeah.
There is that little bit of pressure of being a really good Christian. I mean, we should all feel that way. We should all have that pressure. But in that, people are like, well, you're on this show talking about Christian things. You can't be seen doing ABCD. I'm supposing that's why people want to be using secret names. I'm just guessing. There's that little bit of added pressure. But
and it's necessary.
I don't
think... They'll see me drinking wine and I'm like, yeah, I'm Biscuit, you sipping saint.
Yeah, that whole thing. But for me, it's not a bad thing. Like, I kind of like having that level of accountability for those who do know that who T-Mac is in real life. I'm actually okay with it. Like, people are like, but girl, you guys did an episode on that. Now I see you doing the opposite thing. Like, it's good that I now have to explain myself if there's a need to. So, yeah, and I do hold some other people in this room to account when they want to watch Game of Thrones, and I'm like, well, did you remember that we did an episode on how that show is devilish? Good. So, are you sure you want to watch that?
Exactly.
No names mentioned, once again. Winter is coming. So, yeah. But it's been great. It's been great. It's been challenging. I'm actually a very shy person and not that articulate. Again, I don't know why Kent chose me. But I guess I'm glad he did.
Thank you.
Monster.
I think it's actually pretty weird to hear you say that you're a shy person.
Yeah, very weird.
You said you've known me for 10 plus years, but generally
I say it's weird.
Why is TJ nodding, is it?
Yeah, but anyway, I understand, because I'm actually...
Hey?
Because I can relate, because I'm quite a shy person.
Oh, wow.
Mr. What? You're so shy.
Anyway, I think, you know, just to also echo what everyone has already said, this has been, it's been a very enriching experience. I will be honest and say that there are times when it's very inconvenient to have to drive from wherever, you know, to come and be part of the show, and sometimes it's a huge sacrifice, you know, but... you know, sometimes on days like that where you are driving from seeing a client and then you have to go back, those have been some of the most amazing episodes where you leave it, you're like, wow, this is really deep, you know. But one of the coolest things for me is just realizing that you don't have to be boring to be a Christian. You know what I mean? That you don't have to be all dignified and like, I don't know, you know, all that.
You don't have to be like Spock, like a Vulcan kind of.
Wow, this reference over my head.
I mean, yo, yeah, you know, I'm impressed you knew that Spock is a Vulcan. I mean, I'm actually very
okay,
impressed.
Back to Earth, guys.
The only Vulcan come. I know is an
come,
Aston
come, no,
Martin.
No, no, come, back to Earth.
Back to Earth.
Back to Earth.
Back to Christiana.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just being around these guys and radiant culture is the kind of, what do I call it? It's the kind of environment where you can be who you are. You know, no one is going to be expecting you to, like, fit into any mold. So I think that's really cool. And then also realizing that we're all at different journeys and we're all different people who are walking different journeys, who have different desires, struggles, but still are genuinely seeking to know God better and to make God known to other people. So I think just that whole experience for me has been amazing. Then of course, like what T-Mac said, some of the guests that we've had here have, you know, yeah, it's been really challenging. I remember which one was the most challenging for me.
You didn't do that one.
No, I wasn't around for that one. There have been many challenging ones for me where you leave and you're thinking, ish, I'm the one who's presenting this, but I need to get my life in order. This,
challenging in that way.
Yeah, challenging in that way. Then, of course, we've had some really interesting ones as well, where it's just like, hey, this guy, why is he a pastor? yeah, he needs to learn his Bible. But you know what I mean? So it's a whole combination of things. But ultimately, you know, it's been really cool. Like, yeah, really enriching. So I think that's
it. It has been. Yeah. So actually, while we're on that topic, let's just go through some of our highlights in terms of episodes that we've had. Because we've had a lot of different topics, so much content covered in these 100 episodes. From sex to business to
more sex.
Yeah, there was a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. To media. Why are you shaking your head? You chose us. Okay, these are the consequences.
Friends and friends.
Yeah, but we've covered a lot, like angels and demons and media and the stuff we watch, the stuff we listen to, works, how do we get into heaven, what's heaven like? Like, guys, what are we going to do for the next 100? Because like, we've covered so much stuff.
A lot.
But there were some highlights for me, like Sipping Saints was a really good one for me. I think maybe just the title itself.
That was dope.
Because now every time anyone sees me holding beverages, they seem to bring up that particular podcast.
Ah, so you're still holding beverages?
Yeah, I switched kinds.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Sipping Saint. let me see. There's so many for me. Some have been like deep in that they've been challenging and really convicting. Then others have been like, okay, so I'm actually pretty cool. I'm on the right track. You know, I would say one of my most favorite ones was... Which one? The one with Pastor E. The most recent one that Pastor E did.
The relationship dude.
Yeah, that was really dope. Like, I totally...
All of Pastor E's episodes have been honest
yeah,
for me.
Really good.
I totally love that. That's probably one of my best.
Yeah.
Then I can't remember the others.
That's it.
The challenge when you've been both a presenter and a guest is that sometimes you're on the spot and sometimes you sit through them and you're wide-eyed at the wisdom that's come through. I think for me, the first time I met Kuwaza, the first one where I co-presented and he was the guest, I just sat there wide-eyed. Also, the one you did was prophecy. Mm-hmm. Also wide-eyed. I almost felt like I was robbing the audience because I was there hugging what the message, and I'm like, wow, I can't even ask questions. I'm just like literally listening to what's being said here. So there've been those moments for me as well where you're just like, yeah, no playing games. Serious things to know out there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about thirst. Thirst. Thirst to obey or not to.
Oh, yes! Yeah, that one.
So thirst is actually in our top 4 highest most downloaded?
I'd be curious to know what are the ones that people, the audience, okay, the most.
So the highest, the most downloaded one is the very first episode for some weird reason. The Mask Off.
The which one?
Prophecy. The first episode. The very first episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that's got the highest downloads. And then there's one where we were talking about sex with Pastor E. That was last year.
Which one?
I think it was Pastor E and Annabelle on that show.
Really?
Yes, Pastor E and Annabelle on that show.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was about sex. That's all I remember. And yeah, Thirst comes in after that as well. Prophetic and Pathetic is also amongst that one. And yeah.
But how do you actually, Mr. Producer, come up with these titles? Because they really are clickbait. Like,
I came up with prophetic or pathetic.
Both of you. Yeah. Up with these titles.
Well, actually, Thirst.
Actually, that was me.
That Thirst was you. Thirst was you.
Come to think of it.
You see, so I'm not the only one here.
Yes, but some of the pictures you use also.
Exactly.
I just follow like, from your titles, guys.
Mm. Where the heck do you get those? Like, the times I'm looking at, I'm like, what the heck? But that's dope. Well done.
Yeah, it's just trying to get the clicks. TJ is coming up.
So I talked about you while you're away.
Hey, TJ.
About you and Wembai.
How
you must get married.
What an interview.
Wembai, if you're listening, the pastor said.
Did she even single?
Guys, Wembai is not single.
Anymore.
I will be strangled by her man. Just now, if you guys
know.
Keep saying
she
this.
She didn't tell the pastor.
Yeah.
Guys, remember the feminism episode?
That was like, I don't get easily flustered or whatever. But like, I was like on the side.
When Bai
like,
was on that episode.
Yes.
Yes. When Bai was on that episode.
I was like,
that one was emotional, guys.
Yeah, that got really.
Like when I left, I was like boiling.
I think I said two words. Like I couldn't. Like, I was shocked.
Yo.
I was just like, hey. Okay, if you must
that was an
intense. Go and be fair to the wolves. I'm okay
with that. Tell us about your journey and your experience as part of Radiant Culture.
With here. How did I get to Radiant Culture? Oh, yes. Pastor, producer Mr. Kent was my pastor at church. So, just from interacting and whatnot, he discovered that I was also into music and producing and stuff. And therefore, we began to start to work together. I remember the first days was when I used to bring the mic for the other podcast, the extra mic, before I actually joined.
So TJ, before he joined, he was my backup guy. So if there were more guests, because I didn't have a lot of mics then, I had to borrow his mic.
Oh.
So he would just come, drop off, and I'll say bye. Take his
guys,
mic.
Imagine, guys. Okay. And then I finally made it into the circle, and I became an assistant editor. Yeah. So I've been cutting and snipping the episodes for the past,
two years.
Oh my word, yeah, yes.
Is it difficult, like, sifting through some of the foolishness and getting the proper stuff?
No, I think one of my main challenges with editing is, like, I know people want to listen to shorter episodes and they're like, if it's too long, we won't listen. For me, I'm like, I just really want to give you everything.
Yeah.
So that's my challenge to kind of, what do I cut? Because I'm thinking, okay, this is very important. They need to hear this.
Yeah.
This is, and Kent always has to go, fine, they didn't hear this. It won't even like, bruh, take it down to 30 minutes. And I'm like, 2 hours. I'm like, guys. Well, but yeah, the journey has been exciting and it's been growing, you know, like just, you know, having to discuss some of these things and have, you know, like impact of other people on your Christianity, because it's so easy to do your own bedroom things, have your own ideas. Your own bedroom things. Oh, your bedroom ministries. Oh, your bedside ministries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course, bedroom things.
Wow. Anyway. Yeah, so that's what I meant to say. You can have your own opinion.
I couldn't find another word.
Okay.
No.
Why was like, the bed involved?
You know what I'm saying? I don't know, bro.
Because it's bedside ministries, guys. Like, it's
DJ, in your defense, say... These are the very same people that say our podcast is all about sex.
Yes. Why am I even worried? Yeah, I don't know the number of times you said sex, and I will leave it all in this time. Expose you.
Did they not have a half-hour conversation on condoms the other day?
Oh, yeah, and I still have that. I'm going to put it in edit. Edit that in. Anyway.
You know what?
As you know, we do not condone
we
such
behavior. We do not condone
such behavior. Oh, my gosh, look at the guy. I honestly, most of the time.
This is like all going into the podcast, by the way. Yeah, so it's been an interesting journey. It's been funny, as you can hear. A lot of laughs happen in the studio. Yeah. And just the people are great, you
this
know.
Is the stuff we usually cut out, but we are not cutting it out.
Yeah, this time we don't care how long it is. I have licensed. This time is the 100th episode. You're going to listen to all of it.
Yeah. TJ, don't you also do the playlist?
Oh, yes, I... do the playlist. Yes, I used to do the playlist.
Yeah, tell us about
that. So, like, usually for myself, I just, like... So, I figured, like, Mr. Kent said this was weird. So, for me, I'm always looking out for new music and whatnot, just for myself in my own space. And I was like... Yeah, in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... He was like, you do this naturally. Why don't you do this for other people? Like, there's so much music you know that's good that a lot of people don't actually get to hear because, you know, not everybody has the time to go out and search for it. And even if they were to, they don't know where to go.
Yeah.
So that's how that started. And it was hard for me because, like, at first I was like, why do I need to do this? But, yeah, as you were saying.
I love this.
I was strong-armed into it.
You know what? The thing about Kent, right? He's not a aggressive individual.
Exactly.
He's so chill. But for some reason, saying no to this guy is so difficult. I don't know if it's a smile or the sparkle in his eye. I don't know. But like saying
it
no to
definitely
him.
Wasn't that for some of us.
No,
but yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just got that smile, first of all. And then secondly, his manner. Like, it's just hard to say no. Like, I know I have said no. But then I feel like crap afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, you're going to see the smile because we're going to use his picture
no.
for
yes,
the caption.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't have the password.
But I think what.
Oh, you forgot that you gave it to me. The phone. I don't have the password.
What it is emotional capital. Like, we're not strangers to you. So
yeah.
Maybe you leverage.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That might be what it is.
I do. You know, every time I take stock when you're stuck somewhere in the middle of the road and I have to come and change your tire,
okay,
and I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I have some in the bank.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah.
Cool.
So
yeah.
What? One other thing I wanted to ask you, Kent.
Yes.
How are you? Okay, you said earlier that you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So we all know, well, most of us here, you have some business of some
description. Yeah, yeah.
And we know that everyone says to us, don't despise the day of small beginning.
Yeah.
Like, you start small, you get there eventually. But there's honestly days where you're just like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, really, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to get people to agree to stuff.
Yes.
It's just so hard to convince people to get the funding, to do this, to do that. What keeps you going? Like, what is that thing that makes you... get up again and be like, okay, that episode tanked, or we got terrible feedback about that,
yeah.
Or people were angry about this, but then you get up and you go again, and you're like, Asha, me, I'm just going to carry on going. Like, what makes you carry on?
Oh, that's a tough question. Good question. I guess, yeah, there are loads of moments like that when 30 minutes before the show, T-Mac says I'm stuck and I don't know if I can make it, and you're like, what the heck? Then 5 minutes later, Cookie Monster saying, guys, I can't make it over. I've got a tire puncher. And, you know, and then also some episodes, like you said, kind of tank. But the amazing thing is that we don't actually have an episode that we can say has really tanked. Like, they kind of tank when you post them. But over time, somehow people go and listen to those episodes and then their numbers just start shooting up. So we actually don't have like a very, like the lowest episode will probably have like 500 downloads or something, which is still a lot to me, like 500 people listen to this episode.
Yeah.
So, but how do I keep going? It's, like I said, it's that thing where I feel like, I can't explain it, but it's this thing that, you know, this is what God has tasked me to do, so I have to do it. And it's not like a burden, but it's this thing, it's like a spark. It's this thing, like, you'll have down moments, you'll have times where you're angry, you have times where you want to quit, but then somehow this thing just comes to you and all of a sudden you're excited again and you want to do it again, and you, another topic comes up and say, okay, this one will make it, okay, let's do this again. And next week you want to drag T-Mac into the studio again because you're really excited about this topic. And one other thing that's a major driver is just the feedback. I mean, thank you to the audience. You guys are amazing when you send your feedback. Just the feedback. I mean, some of the feedback we get people saying, oh my gosh, this changed my life. This has changed my life. You know, that's just so precious to me. So that kind of keeps you going to say, you know, there are people that are feeding off this stuff and you can't let them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the occasional. Some of you guys were like, y'all are not serious with things of God.
Those comments. Yeah.
Yeah,
you get
those. And I'm just like, yeah. Listen to another podcast.
Yeah, I always post this on these comments on our group. And Biscuits is the first one to respond. Did this guy even listen to the podcast?
Because he's the most unserious.
Frankly, they just tick me off. I mean, like, okay, we ain't perfect, but just listen to the show before you comment. Yeah.
And I think it's also important for people to realize that I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but not every show is for you. You know what I mean? So if you like more grown up and you like more grown up kind of content
or approach
exactly,
yeah,
then you know there's other shows that you can actually listen
to. Like, we can be
fun.
Are you not one?
I'm not.
Okay, the rest of us are like,
or rather maybe the right word to use is more conservative.
Exactly.
More conservative. Maybe. Approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, because we're not conservative, so you know, so don't be like trying to tame us. Right, because like, imagine if the whole world was just like tame, like everything is just tame.
Yeah.
It'll be boring, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So if you're like one of those boring people, it's so boring.
It's your problem. Listen to
like, don't try to convert.
And I think it was intentional. Our tone was very intentional because we really were targeting a certain audience from the beginning. But then what that tells me is that, like I was saying in the beginning, the lack of good Christian content. So people then kind of, you know, want to listen to our stuff because we are tackling topics that, you know, are not really being addressed in depth in church. So they really want to listen. So I guess what then puts them off is the banter and the lightheartedness of it. Yeah. When they, yeah, because they really want to know about this thing that's not being addressed in church. So I kind of understand where they're coming from, but yeah, we're not going to change our tone.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. I don't know how long this episode is going to be, but thank you for listening, not just to this episode, to any number that you have listened to in the past. Stay with us on this journey. It's going to be thrilling and exciting. We want to grow with you. We want to learn with you. We want to go deeper with you. No, but it's been epic. Thank you all.
I think before you go, I just want to give a shout out to some of our amazing guests.
Yes, our guests, right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing guests like Biscuit's favorite, Bishop Chikuni.
Shout out, Bishop.
Shout out.
And our very own resident theologian, Shingai Kuwaza.
Yes. Kuwaza.
Yeah, Wasu.
Wasu.
our white boy trapped in a...
I literally know someone who, if it's supposed to, he'll listen. He won't listen to any other episodes.
It's a black boy trapped in a white body.
Yeah, yeah. Then, of course, Pastor Craig.
Yeah, Pastor Craig. Yeah. Prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor E.
Pastor E, definitely. Yeah.
Shout out to Courtney.
Yes, Courtney Antipas. Yeah. We've had with that so.
And of course the couples that have come through.
Couples that have come through.
Nyasha and Ray.
Yeah, they're still, their episode's still number two on the highest downloads. Really? Yeah, Thirst.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else? Are we talking only about repeat people?
Mainly repeat people. I don't remember anyone else.
Where's Anna?
Yeah, but that they were already named. So.
Sorry, it's late. who else? It's so hard, man.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people.
Seki.
Yes, Seki has come through.
Yes.
And you gave him that uncouth name.
Seki. It's just coming with the six.
This child. What shall we do?
Yeah, we've had Vui come through as well a number of times. Yeah. That's been good. Yeah.
Actually, guys, we've had so many people come through. So many amazing people.
Janet. Although
she only came once. Yeah, Janet.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And Temba came through as well, right?
Temba came through, yeah.
Yeah,
you weren't there. Temba and Trim.
Oh, yes, of course.
Should not have those two in the same building.
You know, that episode was, yo.
Was exactly.
Ooh. Yeah, anyone. Sorry for forgetting you.
Yeah.
People who've graciously agreed to be on this podcast when we ask you and you've never listened to it.
And then who came through for the feminism one? So Christina.
And Rimbai.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
Then we did somebody.
We had Percy. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Percy came through for the other three.
Yeah. Of course, I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
We're still waiting patiently for my Mpundisi to come through.
Yeah, you might wait for a long time.
Yeah.
We successfully had our first guest on Skype with no glitch.
Yes.
Wow.
Pretty cool. It's pretty dope.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
All right,
no, but yeah, it's a good thing. We can certainly do it with lots of other people. Spread the participation.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, peoples. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week. Bye, biscuits. Bring us back nice things from Cape Town.
I'll look for what's an almonds. What?
Almond milk.
Yes.
Chocolate.
Almond.
No, the unhealthy kind.
No chocolate, it's just almond milk. All right. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.